Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ghanaians are willing to pay a bribe to get out of trouble. And, you know, for us, that has gone up from 2022. And then in 2024, the number of Ghanaians that are saying that they pay a bribe to get out of trouble with the police has gone up significantly.
Ghanaians themselves, we are also paying their bribes and we don't trust the police at the same time. But what exactly is going on and how do we stem this tide? Trust in institutions is so crucial. Trust in the Electoral Commission with barely a month to the election. It's so key. Trust in the courts where disputes go, disputes of all kinds, land, criminal matters, civil matters, contract issues, everything goes to the court. If Ghanaians do not trust the court, there's a big issue to look at there. So I have some brilliant minds connecting with me on this issue. David Kratos is connecting with us in studio. David, it's good to have you connect with us.
Good evening, Kweku, and good evening to your listeners. It's lovely to be here.
Great. Ayikwe Ama Nana Asins. Ayikwe Ama is also connecting with us. Ayikwe, it's good to have you connect with us.
Thanks for having me, Kweku.
Right. Nana Kakari is a Ghanaian based in the United States. Nana, it's good to have you.
Always. Thank you, Kweku.
And Mo Abdul Salam is a policy analyst, research assistant at the University of Belgrade, and is also connected with us on Zoom. Mo, it's good to have you connect with us.
Thank you very much, Kweku. It's been a long time. I'm glad to be back again. Very, very long time.
Good to hear from you finally. And for those of you home, please connect with us 055-11-11997. 055-11-11997. Send us a WhatsApp message. Let me know what you think. What exactly is contributing to this huge mistrust in key state institutions? What exactly is causing that and how do we fix it? I mean, how do we get around the table and get this fixed so that we can have that much trust in state institutions in Ghana and get the very buy-in of all the key issues that come in? So let me start with you, Nana Kakari. You are a Ghanaian, but you've been living in the United States for quite some time now. In the US, I mean, there's such a deep partisan divide between the Republicans and also the Democrats. And every now and then, there are talks about the courts having done this, court having done that. I mean, for instance, in the US Supreme Court is largely conservative leaning because most of the judges recently have been appointed by Trump. But there's much trust in those institutions. And you compare that to Ghana, a country where you hail from. What exactly is causing this?
Thank you. And you know what? It is true. The United States Supreme Court is also facing challenges of its own. However, the U.S. Supreme Court has done a great job of positioning themselves as an independent, regardless of former President Trump appointing most of the judges. They do a great job by making sure that they are independent institutions. Whereas in Ghana, we don't see that. I mean, look at what is playing out in Parliament with the lawmakers in relation to the Chief Justice and the ruling and all that, you know, the other stuff that is happening. First of all, you wouldn't see that here in the United States. The Supreme Court here in the U.S. wouldn't get into trivial matters like what is going on, who with the titles, or who is majority, who is minority. That's something that the Supreme Court here in the U.S. wouldn't get involved in. We play by numbers, right? So in our Congress, which we have the Senate and the House, it's basically how many Democrats are in the House or the Senate. How many Republicans are there? The majority carries the vote, right? So how many Republicans are in the Senate? The number of people are based on, I mean, how we draw the conclusion who is majority and who is minority. I have not seen any lawmaker running to a Supreme Court every now and then asking for, let me know, interpret the law as to who the majority is or who the minority is. The Supreme Court here in the U.S. definitely will not get involved in such nonsense. They have better issues that they tackle, like abortion, healthcare, and other issues that are important to Americans. Now, coming back to the Ghanaian Supreme Court, I think that, you know what, a lot of factors play a role in this recent data that we are discussing right now. The economic hardship, right? The lack of transparency, lack of accountability, all plays a role in this. Look at the recent events playing out, right, from the fighting against the illegal mining, where we really did not hear much from lawmakers or from the presidency. We really did not, they did not put forth any concrete solutions to that. And then to top things off, the arrest of some of these protesters, again, that prompting Ghanaians to lose trust in the police, right? So it's just a lot of factors that I think when it comes to Ghana plays a role. And I think on top of that is the economic hardship and lack of transparency and accountability.
Ayikwe, do you get the same sense as Nana Kakari that the lack of trust in these institutions is brought on their own selves? The EC, the court, the police?
Thanks for the question. Really, I want to tackle this question from the perspective of, you know, our society and how we're generally brought up as a people. You look at the fact that as Ghanaians, we are naturally, you know, that kind of people who really would want to, you know, compromise on our values, all right? To the extent that even in our homes, you find our parents, you know, compromising on a lot of things. Instead of strictly enforcing rules in our homes, you realize that we try to bend rules. We try to favor, you know, a lot of people in our, you know, everyday activities. And for me, that is where the problem is. And so you look at the fact that our everyday activities is influenced by favoritism, you know, attempt to, you know, satisfy people, you know, playing to the whims and caprices of people. That is where the problem is. And so you look at the judiciary, it is incumbent on people who are appointed to the highest court of the land to ensure that regardless of whoever appointed them, they must apply the rules, all right? And that is where the problem is. The problem is that they may feel that the appointing authority has done them a favor, for which reason they cannot disappoint them. And that is where the problem is. So we must tackle this mindset of ours, that regardless of whoever has appointed you, first of all, there is a certain recognition that you merit the position. Because, for example, for anybody to be appointed as a Supreme Court justice, you may have, you know, practice or have a long time standing experience as a lawyer of good standing, 15 years and above. And so for you to be appointed as a Supreme Court judge, it means that you merit the position. And so you should not do anything that will undermine the integrity of your personality, that will undermine the integrity of the office that you hold. That is where the problem is. And so I believe that it is incumbent on all of us as people, as Ghanaians, that yes, the president may have appointed me, I may have the political affiliation to the party in government. However, in applying the rule, I should ensure that, I know, I ensure fairness, I ensure justice in the interest of the good people of Ghana.
Yeah, I mean, David, both Ayikwe and Nana have gone the same lane, talking about how these state institutions sort of do not apply the rules fairly. They are bringing this mistrust on themselves. That is the same sense you get.
Okay, so Kweku, to start with, I think I would dispute your preliminary point, which is about the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court is one of the most political courts on the planet as we speak. And the U.S. Supreme Court is fond of ruling towards the lines of which faction appointed them, if it's the conservatives or if it is the liberals. And they rule along those lines in a lot of cases. Now, in as much as we have our own problems, I'm using that to highlight the fact that the appointing authority in itself should not necessarily engender the amount of mistrust that has arisen. the mere fact that somebody appointed judges, for example, does not mean that the judges would rule according to what the person likes. The judge is expected to follow the law. And yet, I agree with my brother. Ghanaians have an attitude of accepting corruption. Ghanaians have an attitude of accepting what isn't right.
No, I mean, staying back on this Supreme Court thing.
Yes.
I mean, there are those who have said that the Supreme Court has not been consistent. So mm-hmm. when it comes to matters of representation, when it comes to these four MPs, court says representation is key. They need representation. When it comes to Sal, the court says, well, we don't have jurisdiction. Take this back to the High Court. When it comes to Judge Kwesen, he can be booted out of parliament for 15 months and all that. Of course, these are different set of facts. But the ordinary Ghanaian out there is looking at it and saying that this is not consistent.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kweku. It's funny how the Supreme Court has, in different cases, apply the same rules and given different meanings to it. But however, I think that at this current stage we are at, where we are having a lot of mistrust for our institutions, it's being brought up by looking at such things within such lens. Because, for example, yes, the Supreme Court has not been consistent in the past, but the Supreme Court could err in the past, and it does not mean that the Supreme Court should err presently. So if presently to the Supreme Court it believes that it should bring out a certain ruling, it brings out that ruling in accordance with what the Constitution is. And quickly, if you look at the American system, the reason why the Supreme Court of the USA does not involve itself in certain matters is the USA practices the political question doctrine, which in our instance is applied very differently because our Constitution is supreme and our judiciary interprets our Constitution. So once there is a question to be interpreted constitutionally, the judiciary has that prerogative. And so the judiciary keeps getting involved in these matters which are seemingly political, but it is our role to uphold the Constitution and ensure that the judiciary as an institution withstands.
One last one before I go to Mo, who is on Zoom from Belgrade. The current Supreme Court is constituted 15 judges, including the Chief Justice, two of them appointed by President Kufuor, Bafo Boni, and Justice Poaman by John Mahama. The other 13 have all been appointed by President Akufo-Addo. He's appointed more. In fact, there are two currently before Parliament. If they are approved, they are going to go on to the court. And the Chief Justice herself has suggested five more names to the President to appoint. That will probably send Akufo-Addo to 20 Supreme Court judges. So people are looking at that and saying that, look, this is one person. This is how much persons they've appointed onto the court. And the panel, for instance, that had the recent cases of the LGBTQ matter, the case having to do with the declaration of seats, these are all persons that were appointed by the president. Okay, all of them on the panel. And then you have Ernest Gayu, Justice of the Supreme Court, a former NPP parliamentary candidate who's sitting on a case like this. In reality, the person may not be biased, but there are those who say that it's a good optics that a person who was a former NPP parliamentary candidate should sit on a case that bothers so much as to whether or not the NPP have majority in parliament. Do you think the court itself has helped itself in looking at it? Because there are 15 judges. This is a constitutional matter, you need 7 judges. Even in the interlocutory matters, there were 5. Couldn't the court, the Chief Justice who empanels this court, have empaneled someone else? Shouldn't have been Ernest Gayu necessarily.
Okay, so Kweku, I agree with you to a large extent on the optics. And I agree, the optics don't look good. But it's funny because we say the Supreme Court should not play politics, don't we? So if we say the Supreme Court should not play politics, then when Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo is considering which judges to empanel, whether somebody has served in the NPP or the NDC or the CPP will not be one of the considerations on her mind. In exercising her administrative discretion, she's going to choose who she believes should be on the case for various factors that she considers. So I don't think that the mere fact that Justice Guy, who was once an MPP candidate, I don't think that necessarily means that he is ineligible. I mean, the optics don't look good. The optics are very bad, I agree with you.
And perceptions, by the way, goes to optics, right? So, okay. I mean, David, good point that you've made there. I mean, trying to set the context pretty well. Abdul Salam, I mean, you've lived in Ghana for a great part of your life. You are now in Belgrade studying. You're doing some academic work over there. You look at how they've built their institutions there and how the people rally around these institutions, and you compare the situation back to Ghana, where we are so polarized. I'm looking at the data. It's scary. There's not a single big public institution that is even getting 30% of public trust in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, Kweku, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Thank you very much. And a lovely good evening to all your viewers and listeners across the country. The conversation is very interesting. You know, when I sit back and I listen to the input, it is quite scary. If you look at the data, the highest you can get is 28% or 35%. None of the institutions, of course, everything is in the negative. If you look at the data from 2012 to 2017 to 2024, everything is in the negative, which is scary. And if you look at the data even further, about how people are corrupt or how people perceive corruption, it is alarming. I want to take this from a different perspective. You know, if you look at the systems in some places, like in Europe, for instance, like in this country, the culture itself does not support certain practices and certain, you know, behaviors. Okay, the culture is important. If you look at Ghana, for instance, I mean, some time ago, I think that was in 2018 or 2019, I was part of a study that was done by Yali Network. And it was alarming to find out that a large chunk of Ghanaians do not believe nepotism is corruption. A large chunk of Ghanaians do not believe favoritism is corruption. A large chunk of Ghanaians do not even believe there's something like conflict of interest when it comes to somebody is being conflicted in a particular matter. And so for that matter, the person should, by matter of principle, excuse himself or herself from that case. So the culture is one. We live in a country where people are so eager to find ways and means to bypass certain things. Now, this culture did not just emanate from thin air. There are a lot of factors that has brought about this sort of learned behavior. I call it learned behavior because certain things, you know, permutate these behaviors. Now, one, we're dealing with a structural problem. And no matter how you look at this issue, it's a structural problem. It's structural in the sense that, one, we're dealing with institutional failure. That is one. Institutional failure in the sense that most of our institutions are either just grossly incompetent, they are not able to deliver, they are not able to do certain things on time, appropriately, and also with the due respect to the people they are rendering the service to, like the police, the courts, and the Electoral Commission. Example, you're looking at how the police process people when they are arrested, when they are on remand. It is completely appalling. I mean, we've all heard the chronicles of the eternal demonstrator. I'm talking about Oliver Baka Vomoro. What he has been chronicling about the treatment of people in police custody and whatnot. In fact, if people have been saying on the street that if Ghana has not happened to you, you'll be on Twitter and be saying all sort of nonsense. So that is one. Another example is if you look at how the EC handles some of the publications in the 2020 elections, you could see that it was either incompetence or they did not really put much effort into it. I mean, you cannot have an institution as delicate as the EC changing results here and there like its lotto numbers. The perception people are getting is that something must be fishy, even if nothing is fishy, but the portrayal of incompetence on your part, you know, gives people certain perceptions. That is one. Now you look at the courts, how they have handled other issues that boils on certain matters differently on different occasions. Same principle, different outcomes. The perception you are giving the people is that you are biased. If you look at how the courts are packed, in fact, how people suffer to get to even, you know, stand before a judge, how cases are treated in the courts, it's either it's just incompetence or it's a complete, you know, institutional failure. Now, that is one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is that our institutions are constantly being politicized. And this is a matter people don't want to talk about. People talk about it, and when you talk about it, it becomes very partisan. On the street, they say, wear your jersey. It is not about wearing a jersey. If you look at the data, look, governance and politics is too serious of a business to be left in the hands of anybody. And so the government of the day has a major role to play when it comes to strengthening the institutions. How you influence the institutions, directly or indirectly, would give a certain outlook on the public. And it is glaring. You can see the overpoliticization of some of these institutions. You know, if you read the data, they tell you that the time this survey was done was at a time when there were serious issues that was happening in Ghana. We're talking about the election of some of the appointments of the EC officials. We're talking about what was happening in the courts, demonstrations. We're talking about the power outages. So this survey was done at a time when the country was boiling with serious political issues. You see, now, when we talk about politicization, people think, oh, so if a president wins, who should he appoint to certain institutions? Should he appoint his enemies or should he appoint his people? There is nothing wrong with appointing people that you have worked with. But the most important thing is that when you get into a position that is a public office, you've been entrusted to do a job and you must do it.
I mean, Nana Gakari, coming back to you, I want to ask, how much of this should we really put an emphasis on? Because perceptions may be true, but perceptions are just perceptions. So how much emphasis, how much trust we put on this, given how polarized the country is at this particular point in time? Abdusalam, I'll come back to you. Nana, make that point for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll first say that, you know, it's bad to hear anyone, as a matter of fact, downplay the fact that, oh, you know what, the Supreme Court is appointed by the president and would do. No, there's corruption in the Supreme Court. There's corruption in Parliament. There's corruption in the Jubilee House.
No, but
the earlier we understand that.
So that's what I want to ask from. I mean, the data says there's corruption in these places, but is it perception? Or is it real? Because, of course, we saw
it's
what Anna did with judges.
It's playing right in front of our eyes. Look at the recent events that have been unfolding. From the fight against the illegal mining and just what is happening in Parliament with the Speaker and the Supreme Court. There's corruption. It's plain. This is not perception. When this data has facts backing up what is going on right in front of our eyes. The corruption is there. This isn't something we should take it as a joke. But what I'm trying to say is that with the Supreme Court, nobody is above the law. The president is not above the law. The justices in the Supreme Court are not above the law. The police are not above the law. And Ghanaians need to understand that and hold them accountable. Instead of turning a blind eye or trying to push up, sweep everything under the carpet. I think that what I have seen comparing Ghana to the US is Ghanaians tend to hold back. And I think that's where the culture plays a role. That, oh, you know what, let things play out. Americans will get up. I mean, Donald Trump was just found guilty for the stuff that he did. Right? He's not about the law. So is the president of the Jubilee House is not about the law. And so the sooner we get up and hold these leaders and lawmakers accountable, the better the country will be. These institutions are important in developing the country. The Supreme Court, the police, the you name it, are all important. They play important role in developing the country. And if we sit back and let things slide, we are all going to struggle. And this is where Ghana has reached at this moment. We need to get up and fight the corruption. We need to hold them accountable. We need to promote transparency. We need to, there needs to be a dialogue between these lawmakers and community leaders and Ghanaians, the average Ghanaians. Let's stop being hypocrites and try. So, it's the Supreme Court. I can't go against them. Oh, it's the president. I can't go against them. These are human beings. And now to the point where we go like, okay, you know what? The president of Ghana appointed majority of the justices. So is the former president of the U.S. appointed majority of the nine justices in the Supreme Court here in the U.S. That doesn't mean that they should play their loyalty should be school the person. We all have jobs, right? The fact that our hiring manager hires us doesn't mean our loyalty has to be with them. Oh, when they do something, the right thing is we speak truth to power. And so when they're doing something wrong, we need to get up and say, sir or madam, you've done this thing wrong. How do we fix it? Now, the way we can fix this is, again, find a way to implement measures that can combat this corruption in these strong institutions.
Great. I mean, I like that you are coming to the point of the kind of things we should do. And I'm really interested in that. I'm going to come to that. Nana Isins, is this perception of corruption, for instance, in the police, and then in the courts, and then in the electoral commission, in the army? I mean, if you look at the data, it's almost everywhere. The NPP is segmented as a corrupt institution, or there's a least trust in them. There's opposition parties in there. There's pastors. So the trust is all over the place. Is it real? Or this is just perception? And you know, sometimes perception, one person says one thing, oh, David is like this. Then two people say, they tell you, know, that's why, I mean, they say that you like this or you like that. I mean, is this perception or is this reality? Are you quick?
Come on, Kuku. I mean, perceptions can be actual, all right? It can be actual, it can be false, all right? But on the instant matter we are discussing over here, we look at, you know, the institutions such as the police service, okay? And we look at their conduct over the years. Or let us zoom into recent, you know, events that they are detaining, you know, people, arresting people indiscriminately, and then detaining them, you know, beyond the stipulated 48 hours, you know, disallowing, you know, lawyers to see people who have been arrested and all over. You look at it and you wonder, what is it? This is not how to build our institutions, okay? And so this business about corruption and the fact that we have, you know, people influencing our institutions, particularly on the issue of the political influence. Because, for instance, you look at in the recent case of people, the protesters who were arrested and detained, most of the issues we heard was that these were orders from above. And you wonder, what is this nonsense? What is this animal, you know, called order from above? To the extent that people are detained, their fundamental human rights, you know, are violated, and nothing is done to the police service. All right? You look at institutions such as the military. They go out there, you have members of the military go out there, brutalize people, and nothing is done to them. You look at institutions such as the Electoral Commission, and you were wondering how, prior to the 2020 elections, on the eve of the election, the people of Sahel are denied representation. They are denied the right to vote. And to date, the matter is, you know, taken to the court. And yet, the court is yet to decide on the matter. Then you ask yourself, what is really happening? All right? Look at recent event. Look at the case of Judge Kwesi. To the extent that this man was harassed, this man was disallowed from representing the people of Aseng North. And for so long a time, nothing was done. All right? Then you see clear injustice being done. Because most of the time when we say justice delayed is justice denied, it is actually the case that when you continue to influence the justice delivery system, the perception that people have, whether actual or false, would really ring in the mind of the people that whatever is happening now, there's no better justification, for which reason we can, you know, conclude that there is actual corruption happening within some of these institutions. And so it is important that these institutions purge themselves from these perceptions, okay? And so going forward, I would and particularly, let me also touch on the issue of the judiciary, because I have strong interest in the judiciary. Because Kweku, if you have not been arrested before, if you have not gone through the judicial process before, you may sit back and feel that, come on, there's nothing wrong with, you know, the justice delivery system. But to the extent that you can be detained for 48 hours or beyond 48 hours, and then the only place you can seek remedy is from the court. When you go to the court and, you know, there's this judicial, how do I call it? Gymnastics being played all over, to the extent that the fundamental human rights of, you know, persons who have been arrested and violated, and issues about you know, the cases being adjourned over and over again, really hamper the administration of justice. And so the perception is actually real, and it is something we really must look at. The unfortunate event that we have on hand is the fact that the persons who have political identity have been appointed to the court. And quite clearly, on any political matter, we are able to predict where the decision of the court would be.
But and is that not how laws are supposed to be predictable? So if you take a look at the constitution, okay, this case is look likely will go here. Or in what sense do you mean this?
No, because in the current situation that we are discussing, you have people who are politically tainted, who've been appointed to the Supreme Court, and all that we have is that on matters that border on, you know, the political, you know, cases, you have some of these judges, you know, delivering judgment that favor the interests of a certain political party. Obviously, it will ring in the mind of the discerning mind out there that no, there's something wrong with the judiciary. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised that you have well-meaning Ghanaians speaking against it. You see the former Ghana School of Law director,
Kukwansansari. I played the sound here. He has been quite tough on this. Okay, so please hold it there for me.
We also have the former Supreme Court Justice, William Atuguba, also lamenting. And so obviously there's something wrong.
Well, William Atuguba himself, when he was on the call, people had cause to disagree with some of his judgment and those sort of things. But David, clearly, going around the table, there are people who say that some of these perceptions are simply self-inflicted. What should these institutions be doing?
Okay, so I think it's time we as Ghanaians took a look at how we do things, and it's time we as Ghanaians adopted responsible ways of doing things. It's a matter of the right thing being done at base level. The perceptions we talk about, whether they are real, whether they are perceived, it's all brought about by questioning what is being done. And if the right thing is being done, we are going to avoid being in situations where we have almost all our institutions lacking trust. Our institutions lack trust because of the people who man them, and the people who man them are ourselves. So because of the wrong things we do, because of the wrong things these institutions also do, we cannot have faith in these institutions. The reason why there's a complete lack of trust in the police is because you and I, every day, we go out and we see what goes on in the streets. It's a thing that we as Ghanaians, individually, we have to make the effort to be different. We have to make the effort to eschew corruption. We have to make the effort to not agree, we should not allow things go. We should let the processes have their rightful way. They should play out rightfully, So now our institutions like the Supreme Court, institutions like the executive, the legislature, are losing trust of Ghanaians because they are not doing their work, and they are being irresponsible, they are being immature. And until they are able to be disciplined enough to do their work, Ghanaians are going to complain. Until Parliament is able to sit down, this is our mandate, this is what we are supposed to do, Ghanaians will complain. Ghanaians won't have faith if our parliamentarians have changed the corridors of Parliament or the Parliament Hall into boxing arenas. They've turned it into, whether it's choir rehearsals or what, they are singing, dancing. These things are not done. And you can't expect the Ghanaian population to trust you when you are doing these things. So it's time everybody does what they have to do. They do it well. They do it in the right way. They are responsible. And with that, we would see that now Ghana will start changing. Now trust will return to our institutions. Now people will believe that things will be done the right way. These days in Ghana, people think that, or from the Afrobarometer report we saw, people believe that they believe in paying a bribe to get something done. And it's because of how we have carried out ourselves as Ghanaians. It's time for us to change.
A lot of your messages coming in here now. This one, This one is from Comrade Isa Timin, who says, the mistrust in our state institutions stem from President Akufo-Addo, who himself has scored low marks in the polls, seemingly compromising state institutions and leading to widespread mistrust. This one says, guys, the fact that the current government managed to approach Charlotte Osei from the EC laid foundation for the mistrust of the EC. What about getting rid of Dom Levo? Also, did you notice the direction the AG is taking towards the speaker? God help Ghana. Nana from Spintex Road. Thank you, Nana. This one says, as we speak, there are lighthouses in Osu. Oh, nightlife in Osu is going to suffer this evening. The solution to every problem in Ghana is now free SHS. And this one also says, the trust of Ghanaians is dwindling because of the current president. He's the problem. So a lot of messages coming in about what exactly the situation is. Abdul Salam, definitely we need to get over the line with this. We need to get into institutions that we can trust so that the Ghanaian people can be, for instance, because it's a big issue. If people have disputes and they will not take it to the court and they will settle it on the road, that is certainly not something that we want to get at. How do we get to a point where we can fix the trust deficit in these institutions?
Well, Kweku, it's a very difficult question. I mean, it's a generational question, which is equally very important. You know, it is not easy to build trust. Building trust is something that takes time. It's something that would have to happen when people begin to see changes, okay? And it starts with acceptance. The people who manage this country would have to accept that things are bad and things need to change. That is where it starts. So first, we must first acknowledge that we have a problem. And once we acknowledge that we have a problem, then we can begin to talk about how do we solve that problem. But we have people, especially people in charge, do not even want to agree or accept that this is a problem. People continue to say that it's a perception. It's a perception. That is not what is happening on the ground. And people tend to generalize the issue. And so when it becomes very generalized, we lose focus. It now becomes who is saying what, at what point, and what is the motivation behind what the person is saying. And so we lose focus of the main thing. And so the most important thing is that we must come to a realization that we have a problem. The people in charge must accept that we have a situation that is very dire and needs urgent attention. Now, how do we fix this? One is we need serious, whooping structural reforms. We need institutional reforms. Our system needs a complete overhaul. A lot of things must change. A lot of heads must roll in certain institutions. And what I mean by a whooping structural reform starts with our constitution. A lot of things are not, someone says that our constitution was formed in a way to appease certain people. But our constitution is still one of the best constitutions you can find in the world. But that does not mean it is without loopholes. And so these people who are making the rules or who are in charge continue to use the same constitutions or exploit the loopholes and do certain things that the people are either not aware of or are aware but have absolutely nothing to do. And so we need a structural reform to change some of the rules so that the game can be fair. But the most important thing is that we need civic education. The Ghanaian populace must be educated. They must be informed. Certain things need to change. Look, We are all in Ghana. We are all in Ghana. We understand the problems. But some of the issues we are facing with, if you look at the issue of the police with the corruption, if you look at the issue of the electoral commission, some of these things are self-inflicted. Look, you and I know that we don't like inconvenience. If I have an issue with the police or someone crashes my car on the road or something happens and I send it to the police station, the process that it would take for me to get justice or for me to get a simple matter solved would frustrate me to the extent that I now have to have some friend at the police station. Anytime I have a problem, I call him, he'll fix it. You get it? That is a problem. So it boils down to the incompetence, one, to the institutional failure. Our institutions must also be equipped with the needed support, logistically and finance. There must be adequate remuneration for public officials to ensure that they do not easily, get swayed with bribes and all that. One, if we're able to fix the institutions to work and deliver service on point with justice and with fairness, I'm not sure people would, because you know that when you try to go a bribery route, it will not work. And you would not even need to bribe somebody because you know that the system is going to work and it's going to take due process. So it starts with fixing the system. Some of these things, if we fix the system, some of the problems we are facing will automatically clear. Now, the last thing is that the idealism is lost in our Ghanaian politics. We have no ideals. There's no ideation. There's zero idealism in our politics. Just strictly partisan. You don't know if this person is even an environmentalist. You don't know if this person is a conservative or a liberal. We have no values.
We have no values. It's almost like it'll be like that. Thank you very much for those views that you've shared, Abdul Salam. Please hold it there for me. That's there. I just want to give the last word to Nanaka Kari, and then I'll come briefly to our Asians. Nanaka Kari, in a minute, what can we do to restore trust in our state institutions?
What we can do to rebuild trust is to first start cleaning house, and we got to start from the judiciary, the Supreme Court. We need to, because you know what? It's a problem. If we have a judge sitting there, justice sitting there, who once was interested in or was running for a political office, that right there is the foundation of the problem, right? You have a politician sitting in the highest court of the land. That's the problem. And that we need to reevaluate and review that the process that's going on up there in the Supreme Court. And then we need to move to the executive, the Jubilee House. And we have to also reinforce some kind of structure where there will be or promote transparency and accountability in there. And then we move to Parliament, where the lawmakers are. We cannot have a lawmaker who runs a marathon every now and then, anytime he doesn't get his way, and run to the Supreme Court because he knows the corruption that's in the Supreme Court. That we need to take care of that. And that's the only way that our country can progress and develop.
Asins, let me give you the last word in a minute. What do we do to fix this situation?
I really think it is incumbent on, you know, persons in authority to act right, right? Because, I mean, in all of this discussion, you know, it boils down to your individual integrity here. And so for any person who's been given, you know, a position of influence, a position in authority, what you really must do is that at all material times, anytime you are acting, you ask yourself, am I acting in the greater interest of the people? All right. The moment you come to the realization that whatever your conduct, your action is, does not inure to the greater interest of the good people of Ghana, I'm sorry, then you are getting it wrong. You must stop. You must rethink about your action. And I believe that with this, we can make progress as a good society.
We need to make progress on that because the trust deficit is big. I've read that Afrobarometer survey is damning in terms of what we need to do. And thank you for all of you who's been sending us messages. William Cecil says, Kweku, if someone tells you that he's going to make passport acquisitions easier, he's just telling you he cannot do anything to improve Ghana. This is one from William. And then last one, Charles Mate, listening in Dowenya. He says, since 1992 constitution, Israel's government has come and gone until this current government. How did we get here? Charles's message is not so clear, but we've heard from all of you who sent us messages. My name is Kweku Asante. This has been Ghana Connect. I'll see a number of this panel just around for our show on TV. You don't have to miss Ghana Connect on TV as well. But then, this will be our show for this evening, Ghana Connect. As always, I've been discussing this key government issue, these key issues that affect